Psalm 87 or 85, beginning in verse 7. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Most merciful God, we thank you and praise you for your word to us this day. We pray now that what we have read with our eyes and heard with our ears might be imparted to us in heart, mind, and soul by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cause your word to go forth according to your will, that it might not return void. Cause your word to go forth according to your will, that by the power of your Spirit it might serve your purpose in each one of our hearts and each one of our souls. Father, we pray that as we attend to your word, you might honor it, that you might build us up in faith, that you might strengthen us in hope, that you might make us even now more like our Savior Jesus Christ. For we pray that as your word goes forth, we might behold once again with the eyes of our hearts the word made flesh, that we might see Jesus Christ our Savior in all of his grace and all of his mercy and all of his glory. That as we behold him, we might find ourselves even now humbled before your throne as we rejoice in the righteousness you have promised because of his gospel worked in us by your Holy Spirit, to your honor and your glory alone. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we pause our movement through the text of Matthew for a moment to dwell on this one single verse embedded in the teaching of Jesus concerning the believer's attitude toward money and wealth and the things of the world, as we have seen over the past few weeks, and his encouragement to look to God in faith rather than spend our time fretting over the things of this life and this world. It is a verse well known to many Christians, and it sums up much of what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. And where many scholars and theologians consider the reality and promise of the kingdom of God to be the overarching theme of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 6, 33 fits neatly into that paradigm, as Jesus simply but firmly states a profound spiritual truth in 9 words. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the milieu of a world that tells us we need more and more, and better and faster and newer everything, and in the midst of a world where media plays on our fears and ramps us up to anxiety for ratings, in a culture that is ethereal, which fosters a take whatever you can get sort of attitude, our comfort is found not as we follow these directions and worry over such things, but as we look to our Heavenly Father and the promises that he has made to us in the gospel of his Son, our peace. The peace he has promised that passes understanding through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our peace comes not as we pursue the peace the world offers before us, that lie that we see so often. Our peace comes as we commit ourselves and our anxieties to our Heavenly Father with thanksgiving. And our hope is found not in the kingdom of man and all of the things of this world. Our hope is found in the kingdom of God and the inheritance stored up in heaven for us, sealed to us by the Holy Spirit of promise. And so does Jesus speak this truth to us in our text this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Recognizing that we are sojourners, recognizing that we are exiles, as Peter calls us, knowing that as those who are redeemed in Christ Jesus, we belong to a kingdom that cannot be seen, a kingdom that will last forever, a kingdom that stands apart from the sinful excesses and patterns of this world, the kingdom of man in which we live and move, this kingdom of man in which we conduct commerce, we rise and go to sleep, we eat and we drink. We are truly people living in two kingdoms. And yet we are to seek the kingdom of God, the one that cannot be seen. But we are to seek the kingdom of God as those who have already been made citizens of that kingdom. We are not to seek it as immigrants trying to migrate into it. We are not seeking the kingdom of God, hoping that we might be granted asylum once we find it. We are actually seeking the kingdom of God in the instruction of Jesus as those who have already been made members of that kingdom. And we are to seek the righteousness of God as those who have already been made righteous in Christ Jesus. So as Jesus gives us these instructions in Matthew 6:33, we find that we are already a part of this kingdom. And according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we have already been made righteous with the blood of Christ. And so as believers, heeding the command of Christ, we aren't to seek these things as if to find them for the first time. These things are not hidden. Jesus isn't saying this to set before us an eternal game of hide and seek. These are things that have already been given to us, things that have been revealed to us, things that have been made clear to us, and things of which we are already a part according to the Word of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are already members of the kingdom. We have been given the righteousness of Jesus in place of our sin. And so we recognize that what Christ is teaching here isn't that we are to search for something not yet found, but rather we are to have a mindset. We are to more and more turn our attention to the things that truly matter, to reset our hearts and our minds according to the Word of God, framed by the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, particularly in place of and in opposition to the wealth and ways of the world. That's the context in which this verse is given. And so Jesus has spent multiple verses telling us, don't store up your treasure on earth, store it up in heaven. He's telling us we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's been giving us these instructions. And so now he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because this is what stands in opposition, and this is really the key to everything else when it comes to obedience to the commands he has already given in this chapter. To principally, above all, seek. So seek first. To seek is to pursue. It is to strive after. It is to crave. And so he says, the first thing on your mind, the first thing you desire, the first thing you should crave is to be the kingdom of God. In our desires and in our decisions, the kingdom of God should be at the fore of our mind. Our first loyalty is to be to the kingdom of God and to our King. We are to promote it in our words. We are to preserve it in our deeds. We are to pursue it above all that is worldly. As Paul tells us in Philippians 3:18 and 19, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory, and they glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. This is the mindset of those pursuing the kingdom of man. The mindset of those pursuing the things that can be seen and touched and tasted and felt. Their God is their belly, Paul says. They glory in their shame, and their end ultimately is destruction. And his response to this is to remind us in the next verses of Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven. We are members of a different kingdom. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, as those who have been saved but are still awaiting the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to spend the time being about the business of His kingdom, concerned with the things of heaven more than with the things of the earth, encouraging repentance and praying, as He has already taught us, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the mindset of a kingdom people, the mindset of those who are seeking first the kingdom of God, to pray, "Your will be done," day in and day out, that "Your will be done in this situation and that situation," again and again. "Not my will," as Jesus Himself prayed before He went to the cross, "but Thine be done." This is the prayer of those who are kingdom minded, those who are seeking first the kingdom of God. That we seek the power of God and the will of God by His Holy Spirit, that we might then live according to that power before this world as those who we truly are. Exiles in this world, sojourners in a strange land, but citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Unlike so many over the past decades that we have watched approach the southern border of our country, some of who aren't sure whether they're going to make it in. They come with a hope. Some of them do. Many of them do. But many have not. Over the course of years, many are turned away. Many are rejected. But we don't have that concern. We aren't coming to a kingdom wondering if we're going to be let in, wondering if we're going to make it through, wondering if we're going to pass immigration. We already belong to that kingdom. We're already citizens of that kingdom. And so part of what we're doing is we're seeking the King work His power in and through us as we sojourn in this world. One eye always turned to the kingdom of God, seeking it that God might be glorified in and through us as He manifests His power and His might and in how we live. What we're doing here today looks very different than what much of the world is doing. This is part and parcel of seeking the kingdom of God. And in seeking the kingdom of God, we also desire the righteousness of God. For as He works His will in us, it will be seen in our daily walk. It will be seen in our obedience to His word. It will be seen in our zeal for good works as those redeemed by the blood of Jesus, Paul tells us in Titus. Those who have been purified, those who have been made righteous for just such a purpose. Indeed, as Jesus has already taught earlier in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." As our bellies rumble for food and drink, so should our souls rumble for the satisfying righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And how many of us have been at that point in our lives when we're hungry and we get hungrier and hungrier? My youngest daughter, every single morning, runs in to where my wife and I sit, and the first words out of her mouth is, "I'm hungry! I'm hungry!" And the longer we make her wait, the louder the cries get. But that's true of all of us. The hungrier we get, the less and less we can concentrate on the things at hand. The less we can concentrate on the work before us or whatever we're supposed to do. The hungrier we get, the more and more our thoughts turn to food. Such that, especially if we're driving on the highway, we might eat at the first place we come to, even if it's a place we don't particularly like, just because we're trying to satisfy that rumble in our belly. This is what Jesus is telling us we ought to be like when it comes to righteousness. That we should have that craving for righteousness such that nothing else will satisfy us and nothing else can take its place. That we will be distracted, as it were, by that hunger. Because that is a good distraction. It's the biblical distraction. To always be hungry for the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To always desire it. To always pursue it. And to know that there is that one place we can get it. It's not something you pull off the road and get a faux burger when you could move on and get a real burger. We come to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as revealed to us in the Scriptures. And we find there every single time that feast that is the righteousness of God given to us through the gospel of His Son. It is there for the taking. It costs us nothing. It's no more expensive than whether you're buying the Big Mac meal or the lobster and steak. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is free. And all we are to do is hunger and thirst for it. And then, the obvious next step, partake of it. Jesus isn't saying hunger and thirst for righteousness so you stay hungry and thirsty. Because what he tells us here is if you do so and you find it, you will be satisfied fully and completely. But what's interesting about the righteousness of God is the same thing that is true about food. That as satisfied as we can be with the most incredible meal we can eat, we'll still be hungry tomorrow. As satisfied as we are to be with the righteousness of God tomorrow, we should still be hungry for that righteousness. We will never find full and complete satisfaction in this life. We should always hunger for it, always desire it. But we know the truth, that there will come that day when we stand before Him and we will be fully and completely satisfied as He makes us perfect and as we stand before Him in glory. If we seek the righteousness of God, we will find it. And in finding it, we will be satisfied again and again and again and again. If we seek it, as counseled by Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, fleeing youthful passions and pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, then the promise of the Scriptures is we will find it as given to us in the gospel of our Lord Christ, and we will be satisfied. But how we seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, how we pursue the kingdom and righteousness of God is vital. We know that rather than be anxious, we are to focus on the kingdom of God and we are to pursue godly righteousness in our thoughts, words, and deeds. But we do not do so by ourselves or on our own terms. We do so by looking to God in faith. For it is faith that has enabled us to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and it is faith that has allowed us to know the justifying power of the gospel at work that makes us righteous. Faith is the only instrument by which we lay hold of the fullness of Christ's work, that we might be saved to the uttermost. But while we confess that we are saved by faith alone, sola fide, as it were, we recognize it is not faith itself that saves us. It is faith in Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. Faith in anything or anyone else is not biblical faith. Faith in anyone or anything else cannot be saving faith. Faith in anyone or anything else, even in our own pursuit of faith, will lead only to despair and ultimately to destruction. True faith that produces a hunger for righteousness and a desire for the kingdom of God is that which leads us to the foot of the cross. And to the open and empty tomb, there to find our crucified and resurrected Savior, pouring out all the grace and all the mercy and all the righteousness of God as we bend the knee before Him. As we are reminded by the Apostle Paul in Romans 4:22-25, as he speaks to us of Abraham, this is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. How we seek the kingdom of God and how we seek his righteousness is first and foremost to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, offering the only acceptable sacrifice to God the Father we could never offer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again after 3 days, not only to defeat death, as we know, but to justify all those who look to Him in faith, as Paul tells us here, to make us righteous with the very righteousness of God Himself. He was, as Paul says, raised for our justification. And the key, as we noted when speaking of trusting in God more than wealth in our last time together, the key is Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. For as we confess that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone, it is only as we look to Jesus Christ alone that we find such things applied to us. It is only as we look to Jesus Christ alone that we find ourselves fully and completely justified and made right before God the Father. It is only as Jesus died to forgive us of our sins and rose again to grant us the perfect righteousness that we can know we are made citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It is only in the death and resurrection of our Savior that we can be assured of the righteousness of God worked in us by His Holy Spirit, that we in turn might then hunger and thirst for righteousness today and tomorrow and every day of our earthly lives. And while we have joined with so many in celebrating the resurrection of our Savior during this Easter season, we do so with an eye toward tomorrow. We do so with an eye toward next week. We do so with an eye toward every day hereafter, in which the power of the resurrection might be seen in us as we live in obedience to the Word of God by faith. The resurrection is a cause for great joy, not just on Easter Sunday, but every single Sunday of the year, indeed every Lord's Day, indeed every day of the year. Every day of our lives, as we revel in this great salvation given to us by the grace of a loving and merciful Father, as we who have been made the righteous citizens of heaven seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. With the promise that as we do so, all these things will be added to us. The God who clothes the lilies of the fields and gives food to the birds of the air will provide for His own. The God who has numbered our days and even the hairs of our head will take care of His children. The King who reigns over the kingdom of God will ensure His people are taken care of, not merely in this life, but for all of eternity. For the bounty that is promised in the eternal kingdom puts everything we might pursue in this world to absolute shame. The richness of what has been laid up for us in heaven is incomparable even to the greatest of earthly riches. And ours is but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To look to Christ in faith as we are made more and more aware of the riches of His grace. To give thanks and praise to God alone as His peace, that peace that passes understanding, is worked in us over and against the cares and anxieties of this world. To look to Jesus, who died for our transgressions and was raised for our justification, that in doing so, we might truly seek first the kingdom of God, that we might truly seek the righteousness of God, and that we might have the promise of the Scriptures that we will find both, now and for eternity, that we might honor and serve our King above all kings, and the power of the Holy Spirit working these things in us, that our Father might receive all honor and all glory now and evermore, through Jesus Christ the Son. Amen.